end of the story. Sorry, I've had a little bit of this, like I had a frog in my throat. So, beat it out of me, huh? Amen. So again, thank you. So, wanted to speak today. You know, thank you again for being here. The snow didn't stop some of us, right? We'll probably get out there. It's all, you know how it is here. It'll all be melted and look wonderful. Amen and amen. So I want to talk a little bit today that I'd called this, the name of this sermon, No More Sorrow. But I wanted to talk about no more sorrow and how in relation to our maturity or coming into maturity in the Lord. And so I want to read these scriptures. You don't hear these scriptures very much in the Word of God, but I'm going somewhere with it. These are scriptures that the apostle of grace, that the apostle Paul, in his writings to 1 Corinthians. Now, if you study the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, what you realize is this group of believers that loved Jesus, but for most part, most of them did not have any maturity in Christ. There's all this craziness stuff going on, and he was having to deal with it. And they, a lot of them were interested in listening to what Paul had to say, because he was say, they were saying to him, you know, they were saying amongst each other, you know, his letters seem weighty. He talks big in his letters, but when he's here, he's unimpressive. That's what the, you know, that's what he said that many of them were saying. And so, and so let me read this group of scriptures, and then let me delve into it. Amen. For I do not want you to be unaware, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. So who's he talking to? Brothers and sisters. He's talking to believers. He's talking to men and women of God. Can I say that? Brothers and sisters, right? So you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, which means what? You and I have something in common, right? Our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit lives in us. We're going to spend eternity with one another in heaven. So if we don't like one another, or there's some people you don't like, just remember this, you're going to have to spend heaven with these people, amen? You're going to have to spend eternity in heaven with me, whether you like it or not, and vice versa. I don't know why I said that, but just, but he's talking about brothers and sisters. That our fathers, he says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and fathers, that our brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud. He's talking about the 40 years in the wilderness of the Israelites after they went through the Red Sea. You guys know Moses and the Red Sea, right? We're all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And they all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. Can you believe that? Jesus, a type of shadow, even in the desert with the Israelites. You and I, and then we are upon a rock. Jesus Christ is that rock, right? Amen? We're a firm foundation. So that rock for you and I today, we're still drinking from that same rock, except it's been revealed to us who that rock is, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, and they were drinking from that rock, Christ. He says, nevertheless, this is what Paul said, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for their dead bodies were spread out in the wilderness. Oh, where are we going here? But let's continue reading. Now, these things happened as examples. Listen, these things were written for us. Now, these things happened as examples for who? For us, brothers and sisters in Christ, who he's talking to. So that we would not crave evil things as they indeed craved them. Do not be idolaters. And in other places, Paul says, don't be greedy, which is idolatry. So we know maybe in this nation, I can only speak for the United States where I live, a lot of idolatry is stuff. Greed, money, pursuing, not never having enough, amen? Can you agree with that? I know God's blessing. I believe in God's blessing. And the right context for a believer, absolutely, amen? But I also realize, too, that for many of us, our garages are not where we park our cars. It's where we store our stuff. Will we? I can't digress and go down that road right now. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor are we to commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor are we to put the Lord to the test as some of them did and were killed by the snakes, nor grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. Now these things happened, he says it again, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands watch out that he does not fall. Then he goes on to say, no temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind. And God is faithful, so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also that you will be able to endure it. Amen, from the word of God and that Paul. Let me just say this, as there's many times where I've grumbled and complained and I haven't died. I didn't die. There's many things in that list I could say that I was a part of it, and I didn't die. That I'm still here, thank God. Amen. So you could read those and you could look at them and say, well, Paul, what are you trying to say? And this is what exactly Paul is saying. He's saying, come into maturity. Come out of those things which in the time of Israel they never came out of. A matter of fact, I was reading in Deuteronomy where he told the Israelites to, I'm going to teach you a song. And you would think this song would be about all the praises of God and the glory of God and the wonderful things of God. But this song was about how Israel was going to fail him over and over and over again. Could you imagine? I read that song and say, how can that be? And a matter of fact, he says, teach this song because it's going to be for the latter generation. And so as I began to look at that, I say, Lord, how could that fit today? Who would want to remember a song that says, you're just going to fail? We know under God's mercy and grace, man, that he brings us from death into life, into hopefully into maturity. And what he was saying here, which I think is also even for America today, that if you want to forget God and think that you're doing it all on your own, you're destined for failure. And that's what happened to Israel over and over and over again, is they would become prosperous. They would become everything they need, amen? They'd become powerful in the world, and they had this cycle that they would forget where that came from, and then they would turn away from God. Did you know things? There's nothing new under the sun. Did you realize that? These things, what he says, teach this song to a latter generation. I believe that in the halls of Congress or the White House or those in leadership at our universities, that song could be sang today. Yeah, Deuteronomy 31, 29, 30, I just want to say this. It says, for I know that after my death you will behave very corruptly and turn from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will confront you in the latter days, because you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with work of your hands. So in today, what that would be is what we see in society around us is all that this country's accomplished, everything that's happened, all the wisdom, all the technology. What people begin to believe is, I accomplished this. It was the work of my hands that put me where I am today. And I tell you, if we're not careful, what happens with the church, if we don't understand, is we can buy into that. Amen? Let me tell you, it's only because of Jesus Christ that this nation is where it is as far as its power. It's what it's standing in the world. Matter of fact, anything that God has done in your life or wants to do, we got to understand it's going to be by his hand, not your hand. And when we bless him, amen, humble ourselves, he's the one that exalts us because we've given the glory and the honor to him. Hallelujah. Let me just say, and stick with me as I go through these things, and we'll get to some points here. Sweet, this song that Moses had them to sing, which was for... What I realized as I began to look at what was saying, and I realized when it said this is for the latter generations, what it was saying is any people, any government, any institution that wants to think that they've done things by their own power and their own hand, God is able to humble. Amen. I think of where America was, the foundation of the nation. It says, you know, of the 56 men who signed the Declaration, The great majority, perhaps all, identified themselves as Christians, and all but one were Protestants. Four were either present or former ministers, and a number of the signers were the sons of clergy. At least half of them had studied divinity at their various universities. And it's those same universities, some of these universities now, that are opposite of that. I love here what Abraham Lincoln said. I'm just going back in the past of some of these things in our nation. Can I do that for a minute? This is Abraham Lincoln about the Bible. In regard to this great book, he's talking about the Bible. I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it we could not know right from wrong. So what was he saying at that time? What he was fighting against slavery, what he was standing up, he says, look at the Bible, and let's stand up for what's right or wrong. For Jesus Christ and his church, as we go forward, this book still has the same power, and it's what determines for us what is right or wrong. It'll determine your maturity in the Lord, what you believe. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in it. And so this was given to him by, it was called at that time, the Colored People of Baltimore. They presented Lincoln with this Bible. What they're saying, we're standing with you because, President Lincoln, we believe you're standing for the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Let me just make this as, regardless of your race, color, or nationality, your backgrounds, that you and I are going to be with him forever. Revelation 7, 9 through 9 and 10 says this. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. Can you see that in your mind's eye? The throne and before the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, before the Lamb. Clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. They cried out with the loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. It says, every nation, all the tribes, peoples, and languages, all of us together, amen, worshiping, regardless, understanding this, regardless of your background, amen, regardless of what side of the tracks you came from, our commonality is as we are brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. And we are just, you're talking about being a melting pot. The church is a melting pot of what it's going to be like in heaven, amen. We may dress different. We may talk a little bit different. We may have different interests, but the foundation is we are one in Christ. Amen and amen. Regardless. Let me just say this as I move on. Where many might be in America, I got this from the book of Ezekiel. And let me vet this out with you, can I? So let's go to Ezekiel 16. It says, behold, this is God talking to Israel at that time. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. So you know you're not starting out right. When God was saying to the children of Israel, this is how you were like your sister Sodom. You know, what I see that, if you could take that off the screen, John, is what he was saying here is what commonality, Israel, my people, do you have with Sodom and Gomorrah? Why is it that when they looked at that time Israel, that they looked a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah? What the Lord, I believe, is saying for you and I is, regardless of what type of country you live in certain ways that it looks like Sodom and Gomorrah, you have to know that there has to be this distinction, that there's no way you and I in the mind of God, as far as our attitude, our heart posture, what we belong to, what we're okay with, that anybody could say, hey, your sister, the world, I can't tell the difference between you and them. Amen. So when people say, hey, talk about grace, and it is his grace, but don't mention anything about dark or specifics, I have a problem with that. Not that we're trying to bring people into guilt and condemnation, but God is trying to bring people into maturity. Come out from among them and be ye separate. These scriptures like it. This is a year where God is going to begin to in many areas. I can only speak for this church, and this is what I believe the Lord is saying, that in these areas of our lives, God is going to bring us into maturity this year. You cannot come into a calling and purpose if you don't have maturity. The good thing, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the work of God, but we have to be aware of it. If there's anything the Lord has spoken to me for my life, we're not talking about just you, me, Chad, there's areas of this year I want to bring you into maturity. Are you long for the ride? Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm along for the ride. Amen. So what was it? Ezekiel 16 again. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, plenty of food, and carefree ease, but she did not help the poor and needy. So they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. So what's it saying? Is it okay to have plenty of food? Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of food in my refrigerator. The carefree ease, man. Can you imagine? I love the carefree ease of having a vehicle right now that I can drive to Prescott versus a horse and buggy, right? I like having a computer. I like having a computer. The things that I do, I can get work done much quicker than it was even 15 or 20 years ago. But here's was the problem that got Sodom and Gomorrah at that time, where they got so depraved, is they thought it was by their hand. They thought that everything that happened there, where they were and their ease, was by their own strength. Thinking these things that were provided by yourself, that it's you, those led to pride. What was the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah? It was their pride. Where you have pride, where it's on your own strength, amen, then that's where all this stuff, all of a sudden things that used to be detestable, things that people would not allow in society, all of a sudden becomes embraced. And it starts with an attitude, plenty of food, look what we've done, look at us. Carefree, ease, just do whatever they want, not a care in the world, not thinking about others. And how about despising the poor? Now, they may have programs for food for the poor, and they may say, look what we've done for the poor. But you know what? The elitism in this country and politics, they may say a lot of things, but I guarantee you they separate themselves from the poor. They talk a big talk, but I guarantee they're separated from the poor. By the time people leave politics in this country, they go on to create great wealth for themselves. So despising the poor. This is what we gotta realize as we grow in the Lord, as people come. Let's not despise those that look different than us, that may smell different than us, may not have the same interest. Let's be willing to embrace those people. Let's not just say, hey, I'm willing to give a few bucks, help them with a meal, ease our conscience. This was the problem with Corinthians. They were opposing the poor. How God loves every walk of life. How he loves those that are struggling. Let's not oppose that are struggling. Let's embrace them, regardless of where their background is. Let's pull them close. Let's love them as a fellow brother and sister in Christ. Let's not despise the poor in our hearts. It's easy to fool ourselves and say, here's a check, Pastor Chad, you help that person. But let's not be one of those that religion does this. They oppose the poor. They don't want to be around them. They're nervous around those who have struggles that are broken. Let's embrace those with the love of Christ, those that are broken. Amen. Let's not fool ourselves that, Pastor Chad, here's some money. Help them, but don't let them near me. Let's not fool ourselves. Amen and amen. The highway of the upright is to turn from away from evil. One who watches his way protects his life. Proverbs 16. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the needy than to divide the spoils with the proud. Amen. Let me just read this one more before you guys say, man, enough, Chad. Enough, Pastor Chad. This was another part of a scripture in that song that Moses had the goal to teach the children of Israel. But Jeshurun, this is Deuteronomy 32, 15. But Jeshurun, which is Israel or Jerusalem, became fat and kicked. You have become fat, thick, and obstinate. Then he abandoned God who made him and rejected the rock of his salvation. There's that word rock. And so what I'm saying is, you see this going on around the nation, but God is calling his church and his people to come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. God's grace and mercy saves us. That's the milk, but it's the meat of the Word of God that is going to grow us up into him. And we're going to get into that a little bit as the Lord began to show me some areas where I rejected meat in my own life. Let me read this. I believe if Jesus were standing in the halls of Congress, he would say this. It's from Ezekiel 32. 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you or him. Meaning, go back and see the foundation of this country, the things that it was founded on upon righteousness and truth. Was it perfect? Was there things that weren't right? Was there stains? Yes. What he's saying here, what he was saying to Israel is, go back and look at those things that were written before about how they trusted in me and how my blessing was on them. Go back and look. If God was talking in the Congress, Jesus, I think he would say, look at the foundation from which you came from and go back to that. The highway of holiness, those ancient paths, go back and walk on them again. Are you still out there? And so I believe Jesus is saying that to his church, his bride right now, it's time to come out of slumber. Yeah, I'm talking about myself too. Areas of where I've been asleep. How do I know? Because once again, here's Paul, the apostle of grace again. In Romans 10, he's talking to brothers and sisters. Romans 10. 10. Let's read this together. Hang in there. Give me your attention for a few more minutes. It says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And we talked about that right now. And then it says, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. He's talking to brothers and sisters. It is a time to awaken from sleep, for now salvation, his coming again, is nearer to us than when we first believed. I mean, every day, every time his coming again is getting nearer. Amen. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let's rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. Let's behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and debauchery, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Hey, this is what happens when God begins to awaken us. I'm talking about believers in certain areas. He'll start saying, hey, it's time to mature. It's time to put off some things because I have some things for you to do. I want to talk to you. I want you to hear myself more clearly. There's things that are distracting you, but I've got so much more for you, son and daughter, but you're going to have to mature in some areas. Let me say this. How do we awaken? Let me say this. The Lord began to speak to me. It's the meat of the Word of God. It's like this. It's like if I had a message and I gave that message of God's grace, which is our foundation, his love and mercy for us. But that's the only thing I ever taught. Didn't teach anything else. That would become just milk. We could say, yes, we understand that. But as we begin, as God says, but bring out the Word of God or the meat of the Word of God, just like Paul did in that chapter, or in that chapter 13, he began to give some meat and say, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to realize what I want to bring into you. But there's got to be some areas that you got to wake up and look at. And like we said last week, examine yourself and say, this is not benefiting me. I'm going to let this go and go on to maturity because God has much more for me. But I got a little bit of sleepy slumber in an area. How do we awaken? It's the meat of the Word of God. You see, milk, if we're not careful, what milk eventually does is it puts babies to sleep, doesn't it? You ever had that baby? It's precious. But give them the bottle, or their mom is nursing them. What's the thing they start doing? They begin to go to sleep. Milk puts babies to sleep. And this is what God showed me. He gave me example. But the meat of the Word of God causes maturity. It causes us to stay awake and come alive. Can I say that? And so God gave me an example as He was showing me this, because you know, I believe in sowing and reaping, and I believe in finances and giving in finances. But every time I would hear somebody start talking about finances, I would put my guard up and fold my arms and wanted to hear what, you know, what's your motive? And the Lord showed me, because the posture of my heart, Chad, I've got a lot more meat in this area, but you're only allowing me to give you milk. If it's just a few little things, milk, you'd love it. But if I start giving you meat about truths of finances and sowing and reaping and what God wants to do in your life, you shut it down because you don't want meat. You just want milk. You ever seen a baby when you're trying to get it off of milk and start putting it on solid food? Sometimes it can be a struggle. And they don't want to do that. Just put me on the milk because I want to go to sleep. I want to be comforted. But sometimes when God starts wanting to give us meat in certain areas of the Word of God, without realizing it, we'll start going like this from the table and push away and say, nope, I don't want that. We don't realize it because we're in a slumber that the only thing we want is milk. But when it sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable, where it challenges us, that's when it's meat. And sometimes they're like, I don't want meat. And so the Lord showed me that He said, hey, I want to show you much more about finances and sowing and reaping and how I want to bless you, but how can I get it to you when you keep rejecting meat? So my, ha-ha. And the Lord began to realize, the Lord speak to me that for many of us, there's many areas where we're good with the milk, but if the Lord starts trying to give us meat, we push away from the table. You can't mature unless you're willing to be challenged by the meat of the Word of God. My prayer for this church, and you know, and all, I can only answer for the church that I pastor, is that we'll come into maturity, that there'll be areas in our lives where we've been going like this. We realize it's the God that's trying to give you meat, and quit bucking against it, quit opposing it, but start chewing on some of these things. We start getting molars, we start getting teeth, then we can begin to digest and assimilate the meat of the Word of God. Sometimes it'll show up like this. People say, I can't understand any of that. Well, do you want to understand it? Because it's difficult on the Sunday morning. Some people, you got to give some milk, but you also got to start giving some meat. So if there's things that you don't understand, whatever, say, God, help me to start maturing and understanding these things. Help me to start digesting. Help me to start chewing on the truths, the deeper truths of the Word of God, so I can mature. See, it's the Word of God and what God's teaching you that brings you into maturity. You can have all the experiences and the things of the Holy Ghost, because I know this, the Holy Spirit, and still stay very immature. Because it's only the meat of the Word of God that brings maturity. I've also realized as I mature in the Lord, some of these experiences in the Holy Spirit become to take hold of my life. I get to experience in them. There's many things that God would like people to experience in their lives, but they're refusing maturity without even realizing it, and they're not able to receive it. Amen. It's just like when Moses said, Lord, I want to see your backside. Or I want to see you. And God said, you're only going to see my backside, because no one can see my face and live. Well, he had already spent 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. He went from a guy that says, send somebody else. Jesus is, or God's talking to him through this burning bush, and he's saying, send somebody else. No, thank you. Been there, done that. He went from that guy to maturing in the Lord, that he said, Lord, show me your glory. I don't want to just see a burning bush. I want to know you very intimately, and he had to go through a maturing process for God to show him those things. But some of us are not willing to mature, but we want to see all of God's glory. And God says, I want to show you my glory, but you got to be willing to mature in me first. It's just the way it is. Amen. It'd be like Paul when he says, I saw things in heaven that I can't even talk about, can't even mention. Could you imagine if he'd been immature and God had showed him those things? He would have blabbed about everything he saw. Let me tell you how wonderful I am. Let me tell you all those things. I'll give you every detail. But because of his maturity, he knew. He says, the things I saw in the third heaven, I can't even tell you about. Can't even speak those on the earth. He had the maturity to know that some of these things that I saw, I just can't share. As we mature in the Lord, he wants to reveal his glory to us. We've got it backwards. Reveal your glory to me, then I'll mature. No, it'll wreck you. But as you mature in him, then he begins to reveal the things of the Spirit. He begins to reveal his goodness to you. Amen. He begins to show you things that you're like, wow, Lord, I can't believe that. Amen. Good stuff. So we can have some maturity in our lives in Christ, and because of that, we can come into church, and without realizing it, we are looking for just that flavor steak we like. I'm moving on for those that are maturity. We're just looking for that flavor steak we like, and if anything else tastes different, we will spit it out automatically. As we mature, our spiritual taste buds, let me say this, will change. So be willing to expand what you're hearing. Everything you hear, just don't automatically say, I don't have an attitude, I'm already mature, without realizing it, we just turn people off. That's the other part. I've already had the steak, already had that, so there's really nothing else. And we can begin to slumber without realizing it, you know that? As you mature, the different types of meat and maturity, the things that God's going to give you from the Word of God to reveal himself to you, to grow you up into him, it's going to change. Always be looking for God to feed you something. It's easy, amen, to start sitting down and all of a sudden just get, as a Pastor Lear, old pastor used to say, you know, alligators have two sets of eyelids, that outer set and that inner set. So that inner set can just glaze over the eye. Don't ever come into church. I know we have to be aware of this, that we don't start slumbering and we just, our eyes may be open, but those inner eyelids just shut. And we start saying, I've been there, done that, bought a t-shirt and hat. There's nothing more I can learn. You know, when we get that kind of attitude, by the way, we don't realize just how immature we might be in some areas. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. How do we do this? Is remaining humble. God opposes the proud. It's from the book of James. Once again, he's talking to believers. He's not talking. These scriptures are not talking to the lost. He's talking to you and I. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. What was Sodom and Gomorrah's struggle? We think it was just that they were living in sexual perversion. That was part of it. But how did they get there? It's just like how parts of society in America have got there. They become proud, full of food, at ease, saying, this is my work of my hands have done this. How does the church not get caught up in that? You have to say, Lord, I want the meat of the Word of God to what's right or wrong to be applied to my life. Lord Jesus, areas that I'm asleep, that I don't even realize I'm a little sleepy. Lord, show me those things so that I can come awake and start receiving meat in those areas, Lord. Sometimes just the milk, I just want the milk, I just want to sleep and be comforted. And the Word of God does comfort, but sometimes the Word of God challenges you. Sometimes Jesus said, I want you to chew on this and see an area in your life that I want to come and to maturity. But you know what? As a body, you have to want that. As an individual, we have to want to do that. I don't know about you, if I was sitting in that Safeway parking lot when God spoke to me and said, hey, you don't want any meat in this area. Then he began to show me how he could prove it to me. Because anytime somebody talks about it, you just fold your arms. This, you know, give me the 2-minute sermon on all the God's blessing if I give, but don't go into detail. I don't want the meat. So this thing, God's grace is wonderful, it's powerful, it changes our lives. Here's some examples, right? We need that milk about God's grace and mercy, being born again, being his righteousness. But where does the meat come in? When he starts saying, hey, I'm bringing you out of this. Here, you're hearing a message that's saying, come out of this. Be responsible for this. Start looking to me to come out of this. Let me start challenging you. And then with your heart's the right posture, the Lord shows you in those words. You say, Lord, yep, Lord, speak to my heart. Examine me. I'm going to examine myself in that area like last week. And the Lord will start by his Holy Spirit speaking to that area. And it'll come to life. One thing I was realizing is a lot of people will stay in areas of sorrow in their life. Hear me. And the reason why is there's an area there that never comes to maturity. He always wants to bring us. We're going to have sorrows in this life. We're talking about those who passed on. We've had those that passed on. We understand that. But sometimes the sorrows of different things that have happened in people's lives, They'll stick with that. They'll stay right there. They won't get past it because there's an area where God wants to speak to your life and mature them and get them past that. Moving on. Did you know God wants you moving on into him? Like Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me. Moving on. Even where Paul had said, man, I'm the least of the apostles because of what I did to people. But he had to move past that. He could have sat there in sorrow his whole life. Instead, he became the apostle that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because he was willing to come into maturity. You know, this nation is experiencing many sorrows because of pride. And because of pride, the nation is rejecting the word of God. What we got to do as a body for each individual is not reject any of the meat of the word of God. Those things that before maybe said, I don't want to hear that. Just like what Paul was talking about, all those, the things that happened where they died and they died in the wilderness. The different examples. What was he saying to us? Come into maturity so those things that are trying to kill you or trying to keep you trapped, you can come out of that. You love him today. So it is, Lord Jesus, help me to humble myself as the piano player comes. Lord Jesus, help me to humble myself, as it says in James, and receive the implanted word, did you hear the saints, which is able to save your souls. Amen. Can we stand up together? In the book of James, let me read this again. Lord Jesus, help me to humble myself. This is what I'm saying. Maybe say this to yourself. If this hit a mark, if you could say, Lord, if there's any area in my life, this is the year to come out of slumbering. Amen. Sometimes we've heard the word of God or been in church so long that there could be areas that we're slumbering in and we don't even realize it. And we'll be okay with the milk because it's nice to be comforted. But sometimes when you start chewing on steak and you get those molars, it's like, man, I don't care for this. But as you become accustomed to it, the next thing you know, you're not thinking about milk. You're saying, where's the beef? Lord Jesus, help me to humble myself, receive the implanted word which is able to save my soul, and move me into you. This isn't another example sometimes. Because of people's upbringing or their experiences, somebody, a pastor, a teacher, a friend will start talking about healing. And you'll see it. It's like, and they don't realize it, but there's some meat and maturity that God wants to give people but they're okay. Here's the milk part of it. If it's God's desire, if it's this and that. So they'll believe these things and say, no, I just want to stay here. But the meat, when people start saying about God wanting to heal you, it's God's desire to heal you. The question is, are you willing to receive the meat on that? On finances, where God wants to bless you, wants you to learn the concepts of sowing and reaping, amen, and being a good steward of what he's given you and increasing you, you have to be able to come into meat. That's why if a pastor, if I next week or 10 weeks from now or a year start talking about finances, will you fold your arms and say, here we go, I knew he'd finally start talking about money? Or will you say, hey, you know what, maybe I need some meat in my diet spiritually in this area of my life. I think I'm going to look at this differently. I think I'll put a bite in my mouth and see if I can get it down. And then if you do that, pretty soon you're saying, I want more of that. I like what God's doing in my life. I'm growing up to him. Let me have more of that. And the next thing you know, in that area of your life, is like, I've moved on from milk. I've moved on to meat. For other people, it's things where they have struggles in their life and they give up. They love the Lord. They belong to the Lord. Amen. But maybe habits or different things in their life, they become so discouraged that all they want to hear is a comforting word about how they still belong to Jesus. It's true. But they don't want any meat to how they can come out of that so they can finally be set free from a besetting sin so they can move on into maturity with Christ Jesus. That could be you today. Amen. Or maybe you don't even care for the Word of God and you spend all your time listening to conspiracy theories. Or maybe you listen to everybody else but the Word of God and what God's saying in your own church where you attend. Ouch. Begin to tell the Lord, I don't want to be like the spirit of this world. I want to come awake. I want to come alive in you, Lord. Lord, I want areas of my life to start to receive meat, the mature things of God, so that every lingering sorrow and pain in my life can be dealt with. So what is what I believe what God's doing in this church and many churches in the United States is saying it's time to come into maturity. We don't want to be like the Pharisee where they're pointing at that person right there and saying, I'm glad I'm not like them. Look at that sinner, that one repenting, receiving the grace of God, where the other one was completely blind, wasn't even a baby, didn't know the Lord at all. Amen. I want to be a person that says, Lord, I'm coming into what you have for me. Here's what I want to say. As you hunger and thirst for his righteousness, not just the righteousness of who you are in Christ Jesus, but that it works out into how you believe and see things. Amen. God begins to open doors. God begins to give revelation. God begins to show you things. You're like, wow. But it has to come with some maturity. Do you believe that? Would you be willing to say this? Say, Lord, in those areas of my life, bring me, show me. Bring me out of slumber. Bring me out of slumber. Those areas where I've been asleep, Lord, bring me out of those in Jesus' name. And Lord, may you show me those areas where I need to quit spitting out meat, maybe, and say, Lord, there's things that you want me to start chewing on in the truths of the Word of God, for it's the truth that sets us free. So, Father, I declare that over our lives in Jesus' name. Father, how much you love us. Father, how, Lord, those areas that would keep us blind and immature, we're not even aware of it. Lord, may you reveal yourself in those areas. Father, may we come into maturity this year as you begin to do powerful things. Father, we can't move forward as a group of believers or individuals unless we're willing to do that. And Father, I believe this group in every area of our life, we're willing to do that. Show me those areas, Father God. Show me those areas that I could walk successfully with you, not just when I go to heaven, but while I am here on earth. Lord, how we love you. Amen. You okay with that word today? You okay with that word today? Amen. Are you excited about coming into maturity in those areas? Hey, the Lord wants to talk to us. You know, some of us act like he's not wanting to talk to us. So how does it work? Ask him. He'll show you. Or there'll become a difficult time, a difficult area, or attitude that keeps cropping up. Any of us have some attitudes that pop up? And say, Lord, why is that attitude keep cropping up? Why do I keep responding like that? Why am I always in a bad mood in this area? Why is this happening? And start asking him, saying, Lord, where do I need to repent, turn around, and mature in that area?
Yes.
That's what we do, if we're willing. So, Lord, we thank you for that. How we love you, we praise you, we exalt you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. If you're here this morning, you don't know him as your personal Savior, how he loves you. He died on the cross for you. Amen. He gave his life for you. Come up after the service. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you need prayer for any reason, if you need somebody to agree with you in an area of your life where you're struggling and you need prayer, please, by all means, come up here. We would love to pray for you this morning. And so with that, Father, we praise you and we exalt you. He who causes his face to shine upon us. He who delivers us, amen. He who watches over us and protects us. He whom we belong to. We praise and exalt him. We thank him. Lord, thank you for leading God in our lives. Thank you for being our rear guard, Father God. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for your goodness in our lives, Father God. Lord, we thank you for that. We honor you for that, Father, today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.